The Lord may help me and ask your attention to the Gospel as recorded by John, chapter 10 and verse 9. John chapter 10 and verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. How in much of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here upon earth, was conveyed in parables, and it there, and particularly with this parable that we find in the opening verses of this chapter before us this evening, and the various similitudes the Lord uses with respect to himself and the great end and purpose for which he came into the world. We are informed that he spake in parables to them that were without, but it was when he was in private with his disciples that he expounded the meaning of the parables unto them. And there is surely, as we have that ear to hear and that heart to receive the same, much that is for the spiritual instruction of the living family of God in these very words of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. There is one point particularly before just coming to this verse I want to emphasise, and that is, as we find so often in the Gospel as recorded by John, with regard to the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, that those things which he spake and set forth were prefaced with these, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Now, that we must not overlook the force of those words, "Verily, verily," oh, does it not direct our attention both to him that thus speaks and unquestionably of the authority of him that speaks? For let us never forget that with regard to our Lord Jesus Christ, is he not the faithful and the true witness? Is not what he has spoken that upon which we can implicitly rely? And how great is the mercy if thus through his grace our ears are thus open to hear and our heart to receive in faith and love both what he has spoken and what likewise through that gracious ministry of the Holy Spirit he speaks. He speaks unto us. For is it not still a precious reality that true, as our Lord Jesus spake when he was here on earth, how thankful we should always be for the account that is given us here in the Holy Scriptures. Let us not overlook either this important truth, that all that is recorded here in the record of the Gospels is that which is wholly reliable. It is a faithful transcript of all that the Lord spake and did when he was here on earth. Though, as John likewise informs us later in this Gospel as recorded by him, not everything is being recorded, what our Lord Jesus spake and did when he was here on earth. But what is emphasized is this, that these things were written that ye might know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. are all that is sufficient with respect to that which concerns the salvation of all that his Father hath given him, is fully set before us in the precious word of divine truth. And again, what I would just notice is this. Yes, we have here in this record of the Gospels the words and works of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was here on earth. But oh, what a precious reality is this, that these things not only testify to us of what Jesus was, but what he still is. For is he not the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever? The same full of grace and truth. What he expresses here, both in the presence of the multitude and to his own disciples also personally, is that which has abiding relevance still. And how great is the mercy wherein not only these things, as I have said, are sounded in our ears, but we are brought the true exercise of a God-given faith, to receive and to believe of the same, and to believe on him whom God has sent. Well, let us just notice then as helped a few things, more particularly from this verse that I have read by way of a text. Our Lord Jesus states here, I am the door. Is this not, we might think, a most unusual expression? And yet, friends, what precious truth does it convey? I am the door. First of all, to notice this, and I've hinted already at the authority of him that speaks. See it there in that very expression, I am. Go back to that scene there on the back side of the desert, when the Lord appeared to Moses in that bush that burned with fire and yet was not consumed. What was it that the Lord made known to Moses on that occasion? When Moses said, whom shall I say hath sent me unto them? The Lord said, I am that I am hath sent me unto you, expressing as that does the very reality of the Lord, as he is the one and only true God, the self-existent, holy, just, the true, indeed the one and only true God. And that applies in the glorious realization of it, essentially, to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great I am, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, one God over all, blessed forevermore. Let us not overlook this. Does it not lay at the very foundation of that which pertains to the blessings of salvation of as sinful men and women as we are? That the Lord Jesus Christ indeed is God, the eternal Son of God, as he himself declares, as we have read in this chapter this evening, and of that which provoked so much opposition, even from amongst the Jews, particularly the scribes and Pharisees, accusing him of blasphemy, because he said, I am the Son of God. Oh, friends, where should we be as if this was not what was not true? It is upon the very foundation of his deity that he is God manifest in the flesh, that all that pertains to the blessings of salvation for ruined sinners as we are is surely founded. I am, he says, yes, expressive as his eternal power and Godhead, glorious truth. And oh, does that not speak to us as well, not only of what he declares here is faithful and true, but surely it emphasizes a blessing, a reality of this, that he declares, I am, I say it, sets forth the blessed reality of this. Here is one that is mighty to save. Oh, can any less the one Son as Jesus Christ is, as he is revealed to us in his word, be of any avail to sinners such as you and I? Surely, friends, it brought the divine teaching of the Holy Spirit to know our lost and ruined condition, our very need as a sinner, the solemn weight and reality of our sins and the righteous judgment of God, that it is revealed in his holy law with regard to the same. Oh, truly we shall be brought to realize that none less than he that is God, and God manifest in the flesh, will ever do for such as we are, for surely none but such as our Lord Jesus Christ could ever accomplish that which has ruined sinners, only could meet the deep needs of our guilty soul. And this, friend, he assures us here in this word, when he says, I am at the door. Now, what does that essentially mean? What is the spiritual truth opened up to us in this statement of our Lord here? Well, is not a door that which gives access? So it is with regard to our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in him and through him alone that there is that way, that access, and not only access, but acceptance with the Father. As he declares in a later chapter in this same record of the Gospel, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No way of access for us, indeed acceptance either, but in and through our Lord Jesus Christ and through faith in his name. See how he himself has both opened up that way unto the Father, as he has declared, and not only hath opened up the way, but he is the way himself, as he graciously testifies. Has he not opened this access unto the Father both by and through his life, sufferings, death, and resurrection, and glorious ascension into heaven, and session there at the right hand of the Majesty in the heavens? Yes, it is thus he hath opened this door, or this way, unto the Father. But is not this the solemn reality? And surely it is that which is brought home to us under that teaching of the Holy Spirit. That is, not only that our sins have most solemnly separate us from a holy God, but not only separate, but wherein we are brought under the curse of a broken law, and that through both original sin and our own actual transgressions. Oh, is not the way wholly closed up, thus, for the sinner, as far as anything that can be accomplished by themselves or even any other amongst the fallen sons and daughters of Adam for them. Oh, the utter folly! And is that not whatever fallen human nature is ever prone unto? To be found looking anywhere apart from unto the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way of access and acceptance with the Father? We find still in these days in which we live how much friends religion of one form or another is in the world. And you know what is a distinguishing mark of all, apart from that which is made known to us in the precious truth of the gospel, it is this, that whatever form it may take, it always has this feature. But it is that which in a real sense is the religion of the natural man, and that is, it is a religion of works. That something must be done, something must be observed, something must be achieved with respect to such, as it were, to commend thus the individual unto God. I say all the religions in the world have that same feature, looking to something in self or something that can be achieved by them. But what the glorious gospel of the grace of God testifies is this, not that which the sinner has to do of themselves. For friends, if it rested upon this, are we not utterly lost and ruined and undone? Unquestionably so. But the glorious gospel of the grace of God testifies of this. Not what the sinner must do, but what the Saviour has done for them. And not only what he has done for them, but the very blessing of the same that imparted unto them in all the fullness and the freeness of the same. I am the door, says our Lord Jesus Christ. Here I say, is that way of access and acceptance with God. By and through Jesus Christ, his person and finished work, and that alone. It is, as one of the hymn writers well expresses it, no other gospel we can own, but that which sets Jesus Christ upon his throne, proclaims salvation full and free for ruined sinners, such as we are. Will anything less, friends, than this do for you and I? I am the door, as says our Lord Jesus Christ. There's again the way of access and of that acceptance with God. Oh, see thus that way opened up, as I have said, the person and atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath entered into heaven itself, there to appear in the presence of God for us. The blessed testimony of the apostle, as it concerns the one and true church of Jesus Christ. I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. See, friends, here as well. These things are not put forth, as it were, in a way of if or a but or maybe. Notice the certainty of the saying. He says, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Oh, you know how precious are the shalls and the wills of our God. Is it not surely upon this and from these things that all real consolation arises for the tried exercise and troubled soul? Why, not what, as I said, the sinner can do, but what God in Christ has wrought. He shall, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Oh, how blessedly positive are those this which is made known to us in the truth of the gospel. But what a word also is here. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. You know, what does this blessedly open up to us? Why, is it not expressed in such language as this, that the vilest sinner out of hell, that lives to feel his need, is welcome at the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead? Ah, friends, none too far off, no, none too deep dyed, stained in sin, about that this glorious gospel of his grace, according to the sovereign purposes of our God, most surely does and ever will avail. Oh, what instances of this are given us in the word of God. You know, Paul could testify of the same for himself. Why, he speaks of what he was when the grace of God laid hold upon him on that Damascus road. He speaks of himself as being a blasphemer, as injurious, as a persecutor of the church of Jesus Christ, as one that was mad against all those that profess the very name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, but see, friends, there the what reality, the sovereign distinguishing grace of God. Oh, as Paul could testify likewise, he says, 'tis a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Ah, friend, as wherein there is found in your within your heart a concern and desire for and after Jesus Christ. Oh, remember that is that which is the outworking of the very gracious ministry of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you may find yourselves beset, it may well be so this evening, beset with many things that crowd in upon us, have crowded in. And how active is the Satan always, wherein seeking to hedge up the way of a needy, guilty, burdened sinner, in such suggestions as this, your case is such far beyond from what the Lord Jesus will can deal with, or even in such language as this. How can you expect? How can you think, after what you are, where you have been, what you have done, that there can be mercy for such a sinner as you? Ah, friends, do not these things indeed crowd in upon the soul? Oh, are they not those hindrances that we meet? Are we not ready to conclude, yes, this is sadly the case? See what our Lord says here. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Oh, none, friends, too bad for Jesus Christ. No sinner that through his grace is brought to cry unto him is ever sent empty away. No. Why, you know, the scribes and Pharisees have said, in respect to our Lord Jesus Christ, and their whole purpose in saying it was to deride him, they said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh, how offended they were at such a concept. But did our Lord Jesus Christ, our friends, reject that? No. See how he glories in it. Yes, it was this very end and purpose for which he came. As he says himself, to save, he came into this world to seek and to save that of which is lost. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. What I want also just to emphasize here is see how these things are not, friends, left at a peradventure, but they are founded upon the very, founded upon the outworking of the sovereign purposes of our God. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. And surely the entering in of any, a sinner, that sense of the sinner coming unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this is of his grace from the very beginning to the end. For surely is not this borne out in the experience of the soul taught of the Holy Spirit? That it is not, friends, our beginning with the Lord, but that his beginning with us. Never would a sinner come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Only as that soul is thus drawn through the sovereign grace and mercy of God, the great, that gracious ministry of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And what is a precious truth is this. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. And indeed, that salvation is sure, and is sure also in this, that all that the Father giveth him, as he has said, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I've often commented upon that verse in this respect. Oh, how we see there that which is ever the blessed fruit. Why, the gracious mark of the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. As our Lord says, the Father giveth me shall come, and him that cometh, there, friends, is the very outworking of the life of faith in the soul thus taught of the Holy Spirit and brought thus to flee unto the Lord Jesus for refuge. Why? Sure is expressed in this, they shall come, they do come, and that coming is not an isolated incident in the life of that person. It is that which is a daily reality, the sense of the realization of a daily need that they have. Surely, that with that, thus I trust amongst us tonight that the known, and know of the Lord's gracious and sovereign dealings with us, being brought us from that death in trespasses and sins into the light, life and liberty of the gospel. Friend, any less need of Jesus Christ today than you were when the Lord first met with you? Any less the need as a sinner? Any less the need to come and have to come and to come daily to the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. No, a daily need of Jesus Christ, the blessed evidence of that life of faith. And not only that need, daily need, but our friends, the realization that none but Jesus can do that such sinners as we are any real and lasting good. And all that pertains to the spiritual welfare of the soul is that which is to be received out of the fullness which is in Christ Jesus. For just Thirdly, here with regard to this verse, he shall be saved. Ah, I love, friends, the certainty of these things. For sure it is that no sinner that through grace is brought to flee unto the Lord Jesus Christ for refuge, that soul could never perish. Our Lord Jesus himself declares it in this very chapter before us. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. But he shall go in and out, he says, and find pasture. Here, friends, is not only access and acceptance, but here the soul is brought, the very expression here, as a believer through grace, into that very union and fellowship with the Lord. He shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, let the true sense, as it were, of that blessed liberty, liberty of the soul, of access unto the Father. Ah, the realization, that union and fellowship with Jesus Christ. And here, in all that the Lord Jesus is, and all that he has done, is there found that which is the spiritual meat and drink of the living soul. Ah, shall go in and out and find pasture. What a full provision is made for his people in all that the Lord Jesus is, and all that he hath done. Was he saying in an earlier chapter in this gospel as recorded by John, speaking of himself and that similitude, and of that which so many, even of his immediate followers, are there, were offended at, so that they went back and walked no more with him? He says, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? They went back, walked no more with him. Oh, friends, what a question was that which the Lord put to immediate followers. Will ye also go away? Do these things offend you? Peter says, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. O Lord, in thee, in all that thou art, in all that thou hast done, is that wherein alone the very needs of my soul are met, both for time and for eternity. And how fully and freely are those the blessings of the same imparted unto his people, in the blessings of pardon, peace, and of eternal life. Just one other thought here as well of this evening. I am the door, as says our Lord here. Within the immediate context, he speaks, there is, within the opening parable expressed forth in this chapter, there is that which the Lord describes as a sheepfold, that is expressive, I believe, of his one and of his true church, and also that entrance into the church. And likewise, friends, as it concerns the church of Jesus Christ, here upon earth, amongst the very companies of the Lord's people, of those that are brought to know the Lord, to profess his name, and are found in that union and fellowship one with another, as the church of Jesus Christ, and walk together in the ordinances of the Lord. That entrance into the church, is it not likewise indeed thus, through Jesus Christ and through faith in his name? And that is the profession of his name, in that open profession of him, the witness and testimony of what he, not only of who he is, but of what he has done for us. Now that wherein we could desire to go, to be found and joined with those that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth, and likewise in the attendance upon the ordinances of his house. I am the door, says Jesus Christ. Yes, as it concerns a whole of the salvation of his people, and in every aspect of their lives, both personally and with regard to the church collectively, that we see that it is in and through, or that the Lord Jesus is, that both every blessing is found and does flow. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, blessed access. That access which is the of acceptance with the Father, and that freely into the very presence of God. You know, see how the Lord again expresses this through his servant the Apostle. Those well-known words are there in the Epistle to the Hebrews. He says, seeing we have a great high priest over the house of God, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Wherefore, let us come boldly. Oh, see that access, that right of access, that liberty for access unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But I'll leave the remarks there this evening. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.